We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are back with another episode of the Golden Bearcast, a proud partner of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. What is up, Rob? How's it going?
This is an 89 Blitz, so this isn't a vastly long episode. Andy is drinking. I should be drinking, but I don't have any beverages around me. So that's where we're at. This is how we're going up on a Wednesday night.
Yep, I take no responsibility for anything I say tonight whatsoever.
Isn't that usually the case that we say about these
Bootscraft's fault? Yes, it's always the case. But this time it's specifically Bootscraft's fault. So if anything goes wrong, you're like, "What was that?" Blame the Bootscraft.
Well, we're going to blame the Bootscraft, but before we blame the Bootscraft, we're going to talk about two stories over the last couple of days that is, I don't know, would you say defining the future of college football, at least either relatively soon, like this season, and the future?
I think if you time box it, I think it'll define the near-term future of college football.
Yeah. All right. So we'll get into it. The first one is that... So media days for all leagues have begun. Pac-12 is actually next Tuesday. Whenever you're listening to this, that would be, I believe, the 27th.
I was going to say 27th sound right.
Yeah, 27th sounds about right. Yeah, it'll be the 27th. We'll, of course, have all the coverage of that on RideForCalifornia.com. We have two guys that'll be attending, so... follow us on Twitter and you'll get all of the quotes as they come in from the conference and the new commissioner. But that's not what we're talking about. The SEC kicked it off with their media day. I believe it's 2 days. So they had it on the 19th, which was Monday, and then also Tuesday. But the big point here in regards to COVID and everything that's happened over the last year due to the pandemic, their commissioner, Greg Sankey, has come out and said that if your team is not healthy enough to play in games, you will have to forfeit the game. The game will not be rescheduled for you. So it's clearly incentivizing teams to get vaccinated fast. Georgia has said, Kirby Smart, Georgia's head coach, said that they're about like 90% vaccination right now. Alabama said they're at like 85. He said, I believe, three teams are currently over like a 70 or 75% threshold, six teams. He's hoping that the rest will come before the start of the season. So
throwing it out there, choose the team that you think has the lowest
likelihood. Out of the SEC?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said, okay, so his exact quote was, to date, only 6 out of the 14 SEC teams have reached 80% COVID vaccination. Okay? I'm trying to find an article that says, like, which teams they are. but I don't think that's like public knowledge. So
I don't think so either. I just want your guess.
So if we take Alabama and Georgia out of the equation, it's the teams that are left, right? I need to look at the list to look at the SEC teams, but okay. my initial thought off the top of my head. Do you know all the teams in the SEC? I don't always remember all the teams in the SEC.
There's some good ones.
All right. I'm gonna read it off to you, all right?
Got just A&M.
We got A&M.
Arkansas.
Yep.
Mississippi.
Yep.
Mississippi State.
Yep.
Florida.
Yep.
Auburn.
Yep.
Georgia. Alabama.
Yep. Joe Burrow.
LSU.
Uh-huh.
And is Vandy? No.
Yeah.
Vandy? Yeah.
Vandy. Okay. Vandy is. You're missing three, I believe.
Damn, I thought I did well too.
Yeah. Two. Sorry, you're missing two. Because you got LSU, so you're missing two. Think basketball blue bloods.
Memphis?
They're Conference USA. It's Kentucky and Missouri.
All right.
And South Carolina. Those are the three.
Did I forget?
Yeah.
Missouri.
My guess, just random guess, would probably be Tennessee.
I didn't even say Tennessee.
You didn't even say Tennessee. Yeah, so you missed like five.
Yikes. Who am I? Okay. I think I'm going Mississippi State.
You're going, oh, Mike Leach? Mike Leach?
Yeah.
Especially after the whole Rolovich thing today.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not looking great for Washington State. So, that's a good pick. I feel pretty good about that one. Especially after the brawl of last season. How did that just go away? That just went away. It's amazing. Did anyone even get in trouble for that?
I don't think so. I think maybe there might have been a suspension or two on players for like instigating, but like that's the news cycle.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm worried that that's happening with Arizona State. But not today. This is a blitz. We're focused. Which teams are the most likely to not? Yeah. Mike Leach's team, of course.
Yeah.
You're going Tennessee. Who's Tennessee's head coach now? New coach, right?
Yeah, new coach. Can't remember what his name is.
It very much is a, you know, good for Alabama. Shocked. 90% of that's shocking. So that's I do think that it'll flow from the top down.
Yeah.
You know, at Washington State, Rolovich, who cares? Everyone looks at them. Dude, who cares? But if that had been like Oregon and that was Cristobal saying that, that would have been a huge deal because that's the top of the conference that's signaling to the rest of the conference.
Yeah. I mean, Saban's come out and said like ever, you know, if Saban's coming out and saying like you should get vaccinated. Remember he put out like that Alabama put out that entire like video. Was it last year?
Saban had COVID, right? I think he had COVID.
Did he catch COVID? I'm sure there's so many coaches that probably caught COVID. Yeah, I mean, even Dabo's coming out and telling everyone to get COVID, and he had his quarterback catch COVID and still flew him to Notre Dame last year. So the same week he would tested positive with the team on the sideline.
It does make sense that football coaches should get it. They do have to trust doctors more than your average profession.
Mm-hmm.
So if medical professionals are telling you this, maybe
that's maybe heed their advice.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
But that's cool. That's good.
I mean, so I guess the follow-up question for me regarding this is the SEC has announced this, right? That they're going to forfeit games. They're not going to reschedule. And they're probably one of the bigger conferences that have media ties, right? Like, that's the angle I'm thinking of. Like, they have their SEC network with ESPN. And if they're not willing to reschedule games, I highly doubt the smaller smaller deals are going to have to – or are going to be allowed to reschedule. So if that's the case – do you see this rule kind of applying generally across the board for college football this year, where if your team isn't vaccinated enough or gets COVID, like a COVID outbreak, because they weren't vaccinated enough and you're not able to field a team, you're going to have to forfeit the game. There won't be any rescheduling of any sorts.
I want to play the other side of this and see your thoughts.
Sure.
Do you think that this in another sense incentivizes teams to lie if they potentially catch a COVID outbreak or a positive test?
That's a very good question. I mean, so like the only policies we know right now is like with the UC system, right? Which is if you're a student and you want to be back on campus, you have to take the vaccine. The only way you can get out of that is if you submit to your health department of your specific university that you have a medical condition that does not allow you to take the vaccine, or a religious reason for not taking the vaccine, but you still have to send in that exemption waiver. Otherwise, it's a mandate that's all across the board where you have to have it. And you have to submit. I looked this up yesterday because I think it went live July 15th for the UCs. So you actually have to submit proof of vaccination to your university. Like if you didn't take it, if you didn't get your shot on campus, you have to show it. You have to like send, like for Cal, it's, you have to send it into the Tang Center, like the electronic Tang Center of like where you got your shot and like all the little documentation from the CDC and stuff. So like if that's how they're going to track it for like Cal, I don't know what the other schools are doing. Well, not just Cal, right? UCLA as well, because they're part of the UC system. So I'm curious as to like how some other states, right? Some states are now, you know, coming around and saying, you should get the vaccine. It's good for you. Like you've seen a bunch of governors start to come out and say that, and a bunch of senators start to come out and say that over the last week or so. So I do wonder like how that's going to change like from a state perspective. And if they're like one of the lax states, like will they have more lax rules for said universities?
Right. That's what I was going to say. It's like, and then you have Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then you have the counterpoint. Tennessee's out here like, we're going to pull out any positive messaging for the vaccine.
Yeah.
And not going to encourage anybody to get a second dose. So maybe your Tennessee pick was good. That's a good pick, Rob. It's a good pick. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see. I just think that now that the stakes are high, so the one thing you start to see happen is if teams are all doing it as an incentive to get in line, but right. Then if you have a team that gets a positive COVID test, are they more likely to bury it than perhaps they were last season when we already know that there were definitely bad actors?
I do wonder if it has to be taken off maybe from a conference perspective. Like if you know that if they're proving that they have an 80% vaccination rate, right? Or 80% plus, then you're like, all right, fine, that's cool, you're good. But if you can't prove, I'm sure there has to be a threshold, right? I'm sure if you can't prove that you have a certain threshold, they're gonna ask you to take COVID tests, and if someone tests positive, then you're not gonna be able to play. The question is like, who takes that role, right? Is it from a university? Is it from like a third party that the conference is like purchasing for you to take, and that's how you have that information? That's a very good question that they didn't really talk about. They just talked about the whole general sense of if you don't have enough players and you're testing positive for COVID, you know, forfeit game.
It's gonna be wild.
It is.
I think as you look at things too towards the fall, I mean, this is the challenge with the entire thing is we saw a huge spike last fall. We're seeing the foundation be laid right now. It's going to be super interesting. I don't expect it to be the theatrics of last year.
No.
I don't expect it to be UCLA last minute. No prep type. But I do think there'll be some significant disruptions. Let's just call them disruptions.
Yeah. I think it'll happen. The funny part for me is, like, we're talking about this with just, like, American sports, but then you see, like, Messi's on vacation in Florida right now, right? After an entire season with Barcelona, then winning the Copa America and finishing that out just last week. And then what does he do? He flies to Miami with his family, is enjoying himself, vacation before the season starts. And the first thing, one of the first things he does as he's in Miami is go to get a COVID vaccine shot.
It's just, no way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. One of the first pictures showed up today where he got his vaccination because it wasn't available anywhere else. Like, it's not available. It wasn't available when they were finishing out the season in Spain. And, you know, they didn't have it down in Brazil for the start of Copa America. And they had to change that too because it was in a different country and they had a COVID outbreak. So, yeah, that was one of the things that Messi did. So, if Messi's getting the shot, I mean, he's a world class athlete. I'm pretty sure it's okay for the rest of us. Like,
I knew I liked that Messi guy.
Yeah. speaking of world class players and potentially cataclysmic events, the second story that broke today, we were just going to talk about this story today, but the second thing that broke earlier today was that Texas and Oklahoma is looking to leave the Big 12 and join the SEC. This is like all sources and, like, you know, unofficial reporting, right? It's not official stances from the university. But basically, apparently what they've told the Big 12 is that they're not going to be renewing their media rights after 2025. So that potentially means if they join the SEC is already a 14-team conference. If they join the SEC, that's a 16-team conference. Let's say you split up into two divisions, 8 teams in each division. What's the point at that point? You're not going to play everyone in your conference or, like, even have a good enough rotation where you play them every other year, right? Like, it's going to be just, it's just a random, like, you'll play everyone in your division and then, like, it's luck of the draw for whoever else you play. But that's way thinking ahead. What do you think about this news that they're looking to get out of the Big 12?
I think it's interesting for a variety of reasons. One, I can't help but think about the potential hire for Pac-12 Commissioner Greg Sankey, who was a candidate. We did not hire him, and wonder if there would be interest had we made that hire in the Pac-12. Maybe. It's pure speculation.
Yeah.
Pure bootcraft speculation, baby.
You sure you want to be tying Bootcraft's name to speculation that you're spewing on a podcast?
They can DM me about it. They can DM us. We're open to talking.
We're open to NILs.
I think it's interesting if you specifically follow Texas A&M and the A&M's response. A&M's response was like, hell no.
Yeah.
They were like, absolutely not. We want to be the only team that's located in Texas that's in the SEC, which I think is hilarious. But to be fair, they kind of have, like, founders' rights. You know, they made the move first, and now Texas is out. Texas is in. Oklahoma has always been kind of the apple of the eye of Big 12. So I can see why for them they're like, dude, we had to make the decision to come out from under you guys, and that was a huge decision for us. It's been very beneficial for them.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
But overall, I don't know. I do think there might be an issue with just the ridiculousness that is that many teams. The fact that, you know, I consider myself to be an above average college sports fan. You know, I'm not like, I don't necessarily pay as much attention to what's happening in the SEC, but like I'll watch the games.
Yeah.
You know, on Saturday, it's like I'll tune in and like watch the games and watch a random SEC game. And that has to be either at or above your average fan. And I could name, I missed 4 of 14? 10. I got 10 of 14. Yeah. So I'm not even passing. Not even a C student. And that is coming from someone that pays a lot of attention to college football. So do you end up becoming so big that everyone gets lost? I think, who does it hurt? It doesn't hurt Texas. Texas is an elite brand in college football. Doesn't hurt Oklahoma. Are you kidding me? It's not going to hurt. Oklahoma is absurd. Yeah. They're elite brand in college football. Who does it hurt? I think it hurts Vanderbilt. I think it hurts Missouri. I think it hurts Arkansas. Arkansas has been totally irrelevant the last few years. I think those are the schools that it's potentially damages because they become the forgotten ones and the conference becomes potentially even more top-heavy. Where really you're looking at Florida, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Texas, Oklahoma. I'm sure I'm missing somebody in there, but
Florida.
I think I got Florida.
Did you get Florida? You might have gotten Florida. Yeah. But yeah.
So I think like point stands. That would be my six, I'm saying, is the top.
Yeah.
And then you kind of have like a strong middle, and then you have the tail off sort of at the end. But we also should take time to evaluate what the SEC has done so well that is encouraging teams like Texas and Oklahoma to be like, I want to be there. And I think so much of it, Rob, that you've pointed out in this podcast over and over again is the fact that they have their own network. They have the deal with ESPN. They have, you know, the supreme time slots and audiences that other people are looking at. They're like, dude, we need that. We want that. And they don't see the ability to create that themselves. And that, to me, there's some sort of moat that they're creating. And I'm not sure what it is, but that people are like, it's not going to happen here. We should go elsewhere. It's really, really interesting. What about, what do you think?
No, I think your points are valid because the opposite end of that spectrum is that whole concept of what are they doing that we can't emulate. And that's kind of what the Pac-12 did. It's like, we're not going to get the deal, TV deals that the SEC is getting with like ESPN or the ACC is getting with ESPN. So let's make our own network. And that plan has pretty much failed pretty miserably. And
you know,
so
that plan does well.
Where does that plan do well?
IHOP, baby. Flops for days.
Oh my God.
You should have never let me at the Boochcraft.
I should have never let you have the Boochcraft. Oh my God. But oh goodness. But you see what I mean? Like now that like pipe dream of like we can go out and do our own thing isn't there anymore because they've seen the failure of what the Pac-12 did. Granted, a lot of the stuff that the Pac-12 did wrong was like structurally, in my opinion, of how they built out and like how they're in San Francisco, and you know, financially, it just didn't make viable sense to be out in the Bay Area. But anyways, it's besides the point. And then on top of that, you're going to get I think you get the added benefit of maybe let me rephrase. Your point about like the middle and the lower tier teams like maybe missing out, I think that's valid. At the same time, I think what's also valid is that those teams are playing against nationally branded programs now that get into the college football playoffs year in and year out, and they get some of that light just because they're playing them every year. And if you get, you know, just happen to pull off that one upset, that's your name for the year, right? Like, remember Kentucky 2 years back, how they made that huge run under Les Miles? Or no, sorry, that's not Les Miles. Les Miles was Kansas. I can't remember Kentucky's head coach. But anyways, they made that huge run, right? And a couple guys got drafted in the first round from that squad too. And that's kind of the added benefit you get if you're one of those dark horse teams that's sitting there in the SEC. Now, the added component that comes into this is that the college football playoffs is voting on a playoff expansion in about 2 months, right? And if that vote goes through, I think the plan is 12 teams, right? That's the vote. And so if it is 12 teams and you're in the Big 12 and you're looking in, would you rather give yourself a chance like to be like a one loss team in the SEC and potentially get in due to strength of schedule, or be like a one loss team in a very weakened Big 12, right? Judging from how the people have been voting, it's kind of, you'd rather be like the number two or three seed in the SEC versus being like a number two, like solid in another conference. Like they're just, that's just the voters. And that's the thing that we hate about all the voters, because they don't like, you know, lend any eye to watching any of the West Coast games. So,
yeah. Is it a short-term view or is it a long-term view that Texas and Oklahoma are taking? That's a super interesting point that you bring up, because I don't know in a expanded playoff if that matters. If you ask me right now for this upcoming season, which by the way, just reminded me how disappointed I am that there's not a 12-team playoff this season and I have to wait for it, which is infuriating. But I digress. With a 12-team, I think that because you have what we would assume is conference champion getting an auto bid and then at-large bids after, I would feel that being the third or second best team in the Big 12 would be better than being the fourth or fifth in the SEC.
Mm.
Personal opinion.
Yeah.
You know, second best team in the Big 12 versus fourth best team SEC.
Yeah, like you lose in the championship game.
Yeah. Because the other team isn't going to be the fourth best in the SEC. They're not going to be in the championship game. And I know people right now are like, yeah, SEC, they beat like great conference, but it doesn't matter. They didn't make there's going to be so much more, I feel like, emphasis on the championship games than there is right now. And so what I actually look at this opportunity at as a, if I'm Boise State, I'm legit being like, get me into the Big 12. If Texas and Oklahoma are out, put me in.
Yeah. You know,
we're next. Because I think they have the location, they have the brand name, they have like the familiarity, they have the history. They could be that team that, you know, ends up being a two or an exciting kind of lower tier seed that flips the script.
Dude, give me UCF. Mm-hmm. Give me UCF into there. Like, if I'm UCF, I'm calling up. Like, I went undefeated a few years, seasons back. Like, who says I can't attempt to do that, like, elsewhere?
The Gus Malzahn Revenge Tour.
2022. We got to wait a year for that movie.
That would be insane. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to say. There's something that I don't see I'm quite positive there's something that I don't see that they're looking at that the SEC has a competitive advantage that they don't see existing in their current conference. And I don't know what that is. It could be the network. It could be something else. But otherwise, I kind of think you missed the boat, right? Like A&M did it at the right time. Mm-hmm. But there was a tremendous amount of risk with it. But now, like, dude, if they open up to a 12-team playoff, like, man, Texas, Oklahoma, you're sitting pretty 1-2 in that conference. Both of those teams are probably in the playoff every single year. So there has to be something else that we're missing.
Some financial decision, I would assume, has to lie in there.
Doesn't always have to be that way. Sometimes they can just simply not care. And
they want to be in the SEC. Like,
right, we want to be in the SEC.
I mean,
sounds great.
To be fair, a couple, these teams, like both, they wanted to, you know, there were rumors that they were joining the Pac-12 and making it the Pac-16, you know, back in 2010, right? There were those rumors. So they do have somewhat of a wandering eye of, you know, after they saw some teams move conferences, and that just like opened the floodgate of, oh, we're doing this now. Like, it's not set in stone anymore. We're not going to be defined by the old conference rules and restrictions and
absolutely
rivalries. So they're looking around. And
dude, the brand of the Big 12, biased perspective here, the brand of the Big 12, in my opinion, is far worse than the Pac-12 or SEC. And I know people are going to be like, how could you say that? The Pac-12 is terrible. Like, yes. I actually think the Big 10, which obviously is not 10 anymore, the SEC and the Pac-12 are still above the Big 12. When I think of Big 12, it's like, who's in that conference again?
Yeah.
It's the first thing I'm like,
yeah,
who is that?
The only four schools I always remember by association is Oklahoma, Texas, and then due to association, Texas Tech and Oklahoma State. Like, that's the only reason I remember those four. But you make a good point. I think, it's changing the college landscape for sure. And I do wonder with the new commissioner for the Pac-12 too, if they don't at least look into maybe expanding the field a little bit.
Don't make me pronounce his last name again, but yes, I'm in.
Commissioner George. Commissioner George.
Isn't it? Oh, yeah. I was going to say, it's Greg Sankey and then another G name. What's going on? Okay.
It's George.
But let's Pac-12 perspective. We can speak about this a little bit. Absolutely, you got to make that move. Without a doubt. You bring in Texas and Oklahoma. Does it help our chances of going to the Rose Bowl? Absolutely not. Does it make our season a lot more fun to watch? Oh, yes, it does.
Absolutely it does. Yeah. I mean, that's the added question now, and this is, I guess we can end on this point, is there were talks about the expansion, and the expansion might be in jeopardy purely due to the fact that the Rose Bowl Commission and the Rose Bowl are unwilling to move from their January 1st, like, game date. So that just poses a question of, does the Rose Bowl just become a quarterfinal game for the, you know, tournament instead of a semifinal game, or maybe even potentially a final game? I don't know, but that's what they said was one of the talking points right now, is trying to convince them to move the date. So
can we just talk about how much easier that seems to solve than, like, the A's relocating to Howard Terminal? It's like, the Howard Terminal stuff is so confusing.
It is. I'm so confused.
What you just mentioned, I'm like, oh my God, are you guys actually quabbling over this? Put it into a semifinal game. Done.
Yeah.
Like, problem solved. Make it a semifinal. You keep the final at the same exact date, and you put the quarterfinals when we have those meaningless bowl games and put meaning to them so we can all enjoy the holidays together. Boom. Boom. Next problem, please.
I will take Mark Emmerich's $2.3 million check. Thank you very much. We just solved all of your problems, and now we have a 12-team playoff.
All right, I do want to bring up one more.
One more thing.
Do you know how much De'Aaron King has gotten in NIL sponsorships? Because we talked about this last pod, I do want to close with this.
We did. I mean, from that SI article, it was like somewhere in the five or six digits. Five digits? It was like in the five-digit mark. It was like 70,000 or something like that.
I need your guess.
Let's say 80,000.
Way under.
Way under?
Way under.
Wow. 200K?
Way under.
Wow. What is he at?
A million.
He's at a million?
Yeah, just right at the either today or yesterday. A million. He's crossed the $1 million threshold.
And I thought Bryce Young had like a crazy deal because he was in the six digits. Like he was in like the 200K or 300K mark. Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. We're in uncharted territory. When will the money stop? I don't know. I mean, even those two players, right? Is it LSU? Is it LSU that got two players, like, exclusive interview deals? Like, you and I were talking about this, where it was, like, 20,000K for the season of, like, exclusive interviews. Like, that's the only people they'll talk to are these two podcasters. That's insane.
Yeah, I hope that's 100% accurate. I feel good about it. Yeah, here we go. Bryce Young. Well, De'Aaron King asked about Bryce Young's near seven-figure NIL endorsements. And then, yeah, you have De'Aaron King, who's also, like, literally crossing $1 million.
I mean, De'Aaron King.
Absolutely insane.
De'Aaron King's super marketable, but his brother is doing a real good job of locking in those deals. Because his brother is the one, apparently, that's running that side of his like, business. That's crazy.
I mean, nuts. It's so wild because you're like, oh, it's like 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds. But then it's like, dude, you have these guys that used to go from, I mean, even still with the NBA rules, it's like, dude, they like play a year in college and then they go pro. They're the same age.
19-year-olds.
They get paid. They get paid way more for coming out of the NBA draft. Last thing, promise. Went to the Cal store
today
because they email me all the time.
Which Cal store? The one actually on campus, like the
no. Fanatics.
The website. Okay,
discounts left and right. Yeah. First time I think I've ever seen a Jaylen Brown jersey with the last name on it.
That's been around for like the last few months.
Damn it!
Yeah, it's hanging in my closet right now. I can see it.
What?
Yeah, it's right there.
No way.
Yeah.
It looked, I was like, oh, this is sick. I was like, I did have a feeling that you had that already.
Yeah.
Rob probably had
There's this. A bunch of people. I mean, it's not like a real Cal jersey. It's just like it has the Cal colors and it says California has zero and it has Brown zero on the back, but it's like not actually the jersey he wore or looks like it whatsoever. It's more of like a commemorative, like, throwback jersey, but it's a nice one. The colors are nice, so.
If I were to break out the jersey I had, the Cal basketball jersey, it was our point guard during the Leon Poe era.
Who was our point guard during the Leon Poe era? Jerome?
Dude. No. Prior. It was the throwback of the throwbacks. Still have it.
We were still Jordan then.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're Under Armour. By the way, this is the last thing I'll end on. UCLA just unveiled like all their Jordan brand stuff for football. And they just did their jersey unveiling on their Twitter and their Instagram. It's nice. It's so nice, man. It's so nice. I can't wait until we move on from Under Armour.
Me too. I was wearing shorts today and they're Giants Under Armour shorts.
Yeah.
But I also have Cal ones too. And both the lettering on the Giants and the Cal are falling off. I'm like, you guys, are you serious?
Versus like the Nike ones that you and I both own and like the other ones.
Dude,
still
Nike
on.
Ones, they still last 10 years.
Andy and I have the same like quarter zip Cal like Nike. And like it's like untouched. It looks brand new, really. It's, yeah. Damn it.
Hey, at least we got paid.
Yeah.
At least we got paid. At the end of the day, yeah. we got paid.
Yeah. Well, we didn't get paid. The university got paid. But we say we.
All that matters.
That's all that matters.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode of the 89 Blitz. You can follow us wherever you follow us. And we'll be back soon. Fall camp starts in a couple weeks. I'm sure more news will break next week with the Pac-12 media days. So we'll come back and give our thoughts on, you know, some of the comments and quotes and things that we heard from Pac-12 media days. But besides that, it's always Go Bears.
Go Bears.